is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
China, the People's Republic of China, is at this moment watching for a very unusual event scheduled perhaps as early as October of this year. The General Secretary of the People's Republic of China's Communist Party, Xi Jinping, is looking to run for his third term as General Secretary. That would break the precedent established these last five General Secretaries since Mao, that two terms is sufficient, name a successor, move on. You don't go out of the picture, you just become a circle of power wherever you live, and your staff and those loyal to you stay with you. That has been the precedent. However, Xi Jinping is looking to extend his term. Why and how? I welcome Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. Mary traveled the rooms of power in the nation, especially dealing with China in her time at the State Department. She saw Xi Jinping and his counselors up close, measuring their ability to project power. But at the same time, Mary spent many years with the Wall Street Journal in Hong Kong, now a crushed city. So we'll examine how Xi Jinping is running for his third term. It's not the usual kissing babies and making promises. Mary, a very good evening to you. We begin with the economy because pocketbook drives China the way it drives Germany, the way it drives the United States. The Chinese economy now is in recession. They will not use that word, but it's a healthy term of art. We go through recessions and it strengthens us when we come out of them. You get rid of excessive, it's called creative destruction. You get rid of excesses and you commit to the vibrant part of your economy. China forbids that word almost as much as they forbid the word Tiananmen. However, that recession is entirely a product of Xi Jinping's policies these last years since the Great Recession 2008-2009. How do you measure he presents this matter to the party? It's the party that is going to make him General Secretary again. Is his explanation that it was the pandemic, that it's the forces, the bad forces of the United States, that we're misunderstood, that our way of unifying the world is best, and that many people, and he can point to countries across the world, take our money because they believe in us. Good evening to you, Mary.
Good evening, John. Xi Jinping has made himself synonymous with the Chinese Communist Party. That's the most fundamental thing to understand here. So it is impossible to criticize the economic performance of his regime without simultaneously criticizing Xi Jinping himself. And that is a very, very dangerous thing to do for a party elite. Now, separately, you're absolutely right. The performance of the Chinese economy, or its dire performance rather, is entirely due to Xi Jinping and the lockdown policies in particular that he has prescribed. However, again, here you see the party propaganda machine revving up and saying, well, this is our magic weapon, these lockdowns. It's our way to fight the virus. The virus, of course, that China created, which, you know, we're 99.9% sure now came out of the Wuhan lab. But who can say that? You certainly can't say it publicly. In many respects, this is something that Xi has built over time. He has very systematically cut off the heads of political factions, and military chiefs and corporate chiefs who might challenge him. And he's made it very, very dangerous for anyone to challenge him politically or you really can't say these things publicly within China.
Unemployment. Unemployment is part of a recession. The downturn, the slowdown, the puzzles about the Chinese economy has to include the fact that unemployment is rampant, especially among the young, I'm told. There's a high number, 20% is used. Who knows what the truth is? We can only poke around few of the major cities to discover 20% of the youngest workers, those coming out of high school and college, are unemployed. That means every family, every mother knows, because there's one child in this lot, There's one in this cohort. There's one child. They all know about unemployment. Are they whispering it to each other, Mary? Do they whisper it to the party bosses? Because we know the future of the party is those junior level communists who circulate among the families and villages of China.
Well, of course they know it. The Chinese people are very perceptive. They understand the corruption that they face every day and the mismanagement of the economy and the folks that they have to pay off for certain privileges. So yeah, they know very well, even without a free press, they know what's going on. Democracies have gone through double-digit unemployment. France has had double-digit youth unemployment for decades, right? Somehow stumbled along. Communist China is a police state, so they have a great ability to suppress dissent. It's not really talked about a lot, but the police force and the internal security forces in China are absolutely massive, hundreds of thousands of troops essentially that are deployed to against the Chinese people. Effectively, it's a police state, it's a totalitarian regime. So the kinds of things that we think of as potentially creating unrest in a more liberal society, it's much harder to do in a place like China today.
The pandemic, not the origins, although that will become a profound quest for the rest of this century because of what it's done to our confidence and our children's confidence. But the pandemic as practiced by China, Sinovac and Sinopharm, where their vaccines produced very quickly in 2020 and then distributed around the world in what you'd have to say was a diplomatic arm twisting. We'll give you our vaccine and our medical facilities if you give us loyalty. However, these latest lockdowns make it clear that Sinovac and Sinopharm are ineffective dealing with Omicron and its iterations. Again, I know the Chinese people know this. Does this weigh against Xi Jinping that he's lied about the prevention of the virus going forward? He's lied to the Chinese people and they do not have access to our good vaccines.
Well, the technique that you described, right? We're going to create this terrible crisis and problem, and then we're going to help you solve it and make money off of it. That's like a classic Putin technique. He does that all the time. He goes into Syria and creates problems, and then says, "I'll help you fix it." Dictators around the world have done this repeatedly. In terms of the vaccines. Again, it just highlights how innovative and superior our economic system is. It works because we have incentives that make it work. And that's the big lesson that comes out of this. John, sorry, what was your other question?
The Chinese people know this. They know the reason they were locked up was because the Sinovac and Sinopharm doesn't work. Now, I'm not asking for a vote from the people of Shanghai who suffered through weeks and weeks and weeks of lockdown and fear. I'm asking for what the Chinese Communist Party think tanks, the people who will attend the General Party Congress that either does or does not vouchsafe this. They know the vaccines failed.
Yeah, they do. One of the things I've been thinking about is what comes after Xi. What if we have a situation where he is deposed because he has angered so many political and military factions within China? And when you look around the world at regimes like this that have decimated every aspect of what you can call civil society or free institutions, whether it's the press or a very the rule of law and the judiciary and non-governmental organizations and the church and all the things that come together to make our free society so resilient. When you decimate those things, let's say Xi Jinping is gone tomorrow because all those folks that you just described, John, want to get rid of him, recognize his failures. The ability to rally, to lead the nation can be very limited. I mean, what happened after the Castros died? I mean, he got another dictator. What happened after Chavez? Well, you got a Maduro. What happened after Kim Jong-il passed? You got a Kim Jong-un, right? I'm not saying that's true in all cases, just recognizing the reality that even if you had an anti-corruption campaigner, somebody who's very charismatic, it's really hard to seize power when you've got this cadre of Communist Party elites that have their grips on the police state. It's just very, very difficult.
Let's talk about the police state. Over these last 10 years of Xi Jinping's general secretaryship, I understand that it's been required to make the generals and the captains of security loyal to him specially, not to the party, to Xi Jinping. He's replaced all of the important cadres. Now, that is a practice that he inherited from his predecessors. However, it also suggests that he is extremely vulnerable to his own security apparatus, the one that oppresses, but also the one that guards the party, watches the party, reports on the party. Does that make him, in the third term, because I'm not presuming he's going to be reversed come this fall, but does that make him much more vulnerable than we have witnessed him before, than the man you saw traveling when you traveled the world with the secretary?
Well, I mean, we have to recognize that he's been in power for 10 years and very successfully wielding all of these tools to maintain power, which says something about him as such a repressive, brutal leader. He's pretty good at it. How difficult would it be to unseat him? Probably pretty hard, even with an economy like this. You know, I think we're also used to thinking about the performance of the economy as exerting the same kind of pressure in that sort of a system as it does in a democracy. And I don't think that's true either. I mean, you have millions and millions of Chinese people who are living in dire poverty, who have never experienced this sort of economic improvement that we've seen over the last several decades, and aren't suffering any more than they're already suffering. It's almost like the Russian people, right? They haven't experienced the sort of economic uplift that we thought they would after the fall of the Soviet Union, and many of them are quite nationalistic and actually do support Putin. And so you could say the same is true in China. Not saying that's true in all areas, of course, but many of the people who wanted more freedoms, they went to Hong Kong or they went to Canada or Australia when they could. And you're seeing a great exodus, for instance, right now out of Hong Kong. Tens of thousands of people leaving, every year. So if you have the ability to do that, you do. Otherwise, you're subject to this police state. It's very sad.
Mary Kissel, the Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State. We go to the Secretary of State, Mr. Blinken, next for a comment on the Ukrainian grain fleet blockaded in Odessa by the Russian Navy. I'm John Batchelor.